Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast. Today on this October 20th, 2025, with my dear brother in Christ and special guest, Eric Rodriguez. And so, Brother Eric, I welcome you to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Very good. Could be just a little louder, I think.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, so what do you have for us today, my brother?
Well, I've got some historical stuff on the supposed right of the Pope to rule all the world and some stuff on their constant ceaseless agitations. Hopefully, I get to this one particular quote regarding the South and the war between the states as being between the Jacobins essentially and the lovers of order and regulated freedom on the other side.
That's right. It's exactly what Dabney says in his great work, The Defense of Virginia in the South. Calls them Jacobins.
Exactly. And that's actually, let me pray and then I'll start with that quote
Okay.
with that in mind. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day and time that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the gospel and thank you for your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you please enable us to walk by faith and not by sight, and I pray that you please enable us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So here we see it's 2025, and the story continues with God in heaven and us here below, and the devil trying to stop everything and change things to be his way, but in the end he loses, and I'm fine with that.
Me too.
So I listened actually. So I started looking at some things regarding this particular quote. It just continues to come back to me. I see the war between the states, the war of northern aggression, there's a lot of names for it, the war of federal aggression, Lincoln's war against southern people. Although that kind of blames Lincoln for things the Jesuits were guilty of. But the one is the war to preserve the Union. That's how it started. And then they, I think they realized that that was sort of a stupid way to put it. So they changed it to be a crusade to free the slaves.
That's right. That's right. After Gettysburg.
Yeah. And the propaganda that's followed has been quite impressive. Because so much of what took place in the buildup has been essentially completely erased as far as they possibly can. And so we're just left with, well, do you want to hate black people or do you want to love black people? That's your choice. And that's not it at all as far as what the South was actually doing.
That's right. I mean, they had a gradual emancipation and repatriation to Liberia for over 40 years before the war begins. So, what's that about?
Yeah, and there was some 250,000 slaves that had already been freed, and the number of homes in the South who actually owned slaves was like 1 in 17. And most places that did own a slave, they owned one or two, and they were like house servants
That's right.
and part of the
Almost
family,
like family
essentially.
members. That's right. I knew a lady, she was a Ratcliffe, and she said that her great-great-grandfather would bring the sick slaves into the house and call the doctor to give them medicines.
Yeah.
They're healing. Nobody's ever talked about that.
Right. And they even have the federal slave narratives where they interviewed slaves in the 1930s that were still alive. I don't know if you've seen those, and they have the direct quotes from the slaves, and the vast majority, they were happy about emancipation. They were happy about the outcome of the war. Some were, some weren't. But then they would go on to explain what happened afterwards, and they say, we got our freedom. And then they said, but we ended up going back and live with our masters anyway. And it was, so there's so much that's not talked about. And if it was really a matter of setting people free, then why would the South even, if you're the average Southern farmer and you were afraid that you were going to have your slave revolt, then you wouldn't even leave home in the first place because
Right.
it would be too risky.
That's right.
If
And
you were so afraid of it.
by the way, Lieutenant General, well, he was the son of one of the presidents who was assassinated.
Garfield?
No, it was, what's his name? Taylor. Richard Taylor was Lieutenant General in the Confederacy, and he wrote in his book, Destruction Reconstruction, he wrote in his book that there was not one outrage or black on white rape during the entire time the white men of the South were away fighting the war. There was no record of one. And he writes it in his book.
Yeah. So if we're all to believe that the Southern black slaves, because there was also Southern black slave masters, which is never
Yes.
talked about,
Mr. Johnson's one of them. Go ahead.
right? With hundreds of, so if we're to believe that the South was composed of a bunch of insane white people who wanted to keep their black population under their heel, and we're also to believe that they also up and left in order to join the Southern Army, then shouldn't the conclusion also be that those black slaves would seize control of the homestead? And that's not what happened.
Not at
So
all. Not at all.
that alone, and then you have all the things about this, the North, and what they did when they came and raped the place and destroyed it, stole everything.
Right. And the Irish Catholics were busy robbing, raping, and pillaging. That's why the black men, at least in Florida, they took all their women and they moved them into the Everglades because they weren't about to be submitted to this Irish Catholic Yankee rape of their women. And that's never
Yeah,
talked about either.
that's never talked about, and the way they treated everyone in the South indiscriminately, and broke into the homes, stole all the silver,
Stole
stole
everything they could
everything,
get, everything they could
burned
carry, yeah, which is a
food,
violation of the laws of war.
animals, raped the women, burned the houses, and moved on.
Good
So
old
the reason I,
Sherman's march to the sea.
yeah, Sherman, and then I think he found himself in Chicago during the Great Fire. And someone in the South knew about how Sherman was there during that fire. And they wrote down, well, now Sherman knows what it feels like.
Yeah, Sherman just happened to meet Nathan Bedford Forrest on a river boat, and he said, we were deathly afraid of your army, and Sherman and Nathan Bedford Forrest said, yeah, he said, well, if our commander had not made a mistake in our command, we would have stoutly defeated you, and that's in hit the book of. The Life of Nathan Bedford Forrest, written like late 1800s. It's a classic work.
Interesting. So they actually met.
Sherman, General Sherman called the certain of his soldiers my little devils.
Ah, yeah.
So when they pillaged and plundered Atlanta, that's exactly what the Jesuits wanted, because Atlanta was a Protestant city with a lot of black Protestants in there. So it's just pursuant to the Counter-Reformation.
Yeah. And there was something that you said that jogged my thinking around Sherman, and in the slave narratives, there's actually a lot of quotes that you'll find with the former black slaves talking about how they were terrified when the Yankees would come through. There's a couple books actually, When the Yankees Come or something, and it talks all about their civilian response to the decimation that was taking place. So, like you said, the Counter-Reformation by sword and fire, and that
Yes.
was all premeditated. And so, what here we are in 2025, 2024, 2023. We have the cities, the BLM, the Antifa, the riots, the destruction of property, the fomenting of domestic insurrection. And the same spirit is not random. There is the perpetual fallen state of man, but there's the specific targeted use of these Jacobin banditti against targeted populations like pawns on the board, and it's the same thing back in the 1860s. And I am very thankful that 15, 20 years ago, I started coming across good preachers who would explain what was actually happening in America during that conflict, because all these past 10, 15 years, I've seen all these things take place, as you have as well, with eyes open as to this is the same maneuverings as was taking place back then.
That's exactly
And
right.
the other painful part about it is that your Fox Newses and most conservative outlets don't and can't and haven't and won't latch on to the similarities between American conservatives in 2025 and American conservatives in 1860. That is completely overlooked because I believe the Jesuits don't want people to make those connections and start realizing, hey, wait, this is the same conflict in a different generation, and that's all that's been happening. And that's just more changing the names of the actors in order to hide what they're really after.
That's right.
And
Well,
that,
they're after the final destruction, as you know, of the United States with their socialist, communist, radical, pro-black, anti-white, socialist, communist, anti-gun Democratic Party or Democrat Party. And the Jesuits totally run it for the purpose of, as we've talked before, driving all the whites in general into the new right. So, yep.
And that's where we are. And I think if people understood this, it would break them out of a very narrow line of thinking, and add broader context. So let me start with that quote that I wanted to get at and just go straight for it here. The man's name is John Henley Thornwell. He was, let me see here. He died in 1862. So the war had been already started and going on. And Southern Presbyterian theologian. As the South was getting more and more conservative and the North was becoming more and more subject to radical influences, let me read you this quote. It says, he said, the parties in this conflict are not merely abolitionists and slaveholders. So what he was saying was, don't think of it as just being a gunfight between people who want to free the slaves and people who want to keep the slaves. He goes on, he says, the parties in this conflict are not merely abolitionists and slaveholders. They are atheists, socialists, communists, red Republicans, and Jacobins. So he's describing the North on the one side, and the friends of order and regulated freedom on the other. In one word, the world is the battleground, Christianity and atheism, the combatants, and the progress of humanity is at stake. So here you have him in 1862, just laying it out very succinctly, describing this battle, not between anti-slavery and slavery, but foremost being between atheism, socialism, communism, red republicanism, and Jacobin fanaticism on the one side, and the friends of order, regulated freedom, and adherence to the scriptures and the Constitution as it was originally written on the other side.
That's right. They were fighting against centralization of political power in District of Columbia, which the North had always gravitated to with the Hamilton versus Jefferson dialectic. And so they were not fighting to retain slavery. They were fighting to prevent this horrible, terrible centralization of power that would result in a universal monarchy. And Alexander Stephens warns about that in the very introduction of his two-volume work about this threat of a universal monarchy pitted against a confederacy of sovereign states. Of course, the universal monarchy is the Pope.
Yes, the chiefest form of universal monarchy. So they just used these radical influences. They used the issue of slavery as a gun and a bayonet in order to justify destroying their historic Council of Trent enemies, the Protestant and Baptist peoples, and particularly the white ones of the South, who had many of them come, their ancestors came from Ulster, Northern Ireland, from Scotland in the South, and from, of course, there's some German populations, English. So that was just, oh, and the Huguenot, big time in the Carolinas.
Yes. The Huguenots were always enemies of the Jesuits after they had been expelled from France by Louis XIV in 1685 with the vicious and wicked revocation of the Edict of Nantes. And then also the white Protestant and Baptist men of the South were the foremost leaders of the revolution. And so the Jesuits knew to restore rule of the American states as colonies, they had to get rid of the white Protestants of the South because they were the greatest soldiers during the Revolutionary War against the British Army.
Exactly. And that is completely understated. You're not going to get the connections to be made easy for you in the textbooks, or even in the, I could think of, if I actually knew how to do screenwriting, a way to tell the story where basically something like the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre taking place in what the 15 late 1500s,
Yeah, like
1580s or so.
15, I think it was 75, something like that.
Yeah, where they deceived the French Huguenot and then to attending a party and destroyed them.
Right.
And
Killed Admiral Coligny, cut off his head, sent his head in a box to the Archbishop, and they had a nice celebration over that.
just
Killed
ridiculous.
75,000 French Huguenots in several days. So it was a great victory for the Pope, and they even struck a medal for it. Yeah.
So I would script that narrative in a Netflix series or something. I don't even know if I want to give the profits to those sinners, but then basically in the same episode or whatever, you'd have it culminate with the Huguenot escaping, because they did escape to England.
Yes, they did.
And
Well, they escaped to England, and then with the revocation, I think 500,000 of them fled France to England and Switzerland and ultimately came here to the Carolinas.
Switzerland flooded the South. And if I'm not wrong, South Africa.
Yes, they did. They fled to
So,
South Africa to establish a nation that was uninhabited by blacks. No blacks were there. They built a nation out of a barren wilderness.
So it's they did the same thing in the South too. So they founded civilizations elsewhere, and it worked because they brought the Bible with them.
That's right.
And so if I had the ability to put together that drama, you'd be able to show the Jesuits frustrated at the fact that these white Huguenot in particular were able to escape. And then you'd have some Jesuits sitting around some champagne fireside saying, oh, we'll catch up to them eventually. And then you would cut to the parallel story that you're telling in 1865, showing Sherman marching through the Huguenot homeland in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, burning and destroying the place. And they
That's right.
finally caught up to him. So it's one long story. It's just that it's been chopped up into all these pieces and sanitized. But it is one continuous theme,
That's right.
one
They
continuous.
don't want you to see the chain of evidence. And the other thing is that the Columbia, that's why they burned Columbia to the ground. They said Columbia is a condemned city. So we're going to free the slaves and in the process destroy Richmond. We're going to destroy Columbia. We're going to destroy Atlanta, which are all historic Protestant cities. And then we'll cut a swath 60 miles wide from Atlanta to Savannah, rape, pillage, and plunder everything to the sea, to Savannah. It was one great big party. And they had plenty of Irish Catholic recruits that were promised citizenship and $400 if they would fight for Yankee North. And of course, the priests were there encouraging them on because these people in the South are nothing but heretics. And well, they have slaves, so that really makes them bad, even though the Jesuits have more slaves than the Protestants, generally speaking.
They're rebels.
The rebels, we'll call them the rebels.
They're in rebellion.
Well, the rebels were in the North. And the Yankees were in the South.
Right.
So that's the true relationship.
Yeah, in rebellion of the Constitution. So it's particularly heartbreaking when you see these various streams of thought converge together to tell you the exact same things happening in South Africa today. And, these white people being victimized and so on in the major cities and so are else today. And so it's one continuous long story. And
I maintain the Jesuits with their radicals, whoever they might be, the radical savage blacks or the whoever that's encouraging this, they kill 10 white people a day in America and they rape 100 white women a day. And Charlie Kirk had the courage to say that the blacks kill 600 white women a year.
wow.
That's what he said. And it's much more than that. Go ahead.
Yeah. No difference. It's the continued ceaseless agitation. The various peoples and groups are just weapons and tools in the hands of designing men. And
Right.
it continues even till now.
That's right. Well, that's what we're here for, to expose this, and maybe God will raise up some men to resist this after they heard our broadcasts, which would be nice.
That would be nice. So I want to read to you. There's a particular passage. I'm going to see if I can find the tab that I have it on. I've got a lot of tabs open. It gets at the fact that God hates. There's six things doth the Lord hate. One of them in particular is when you stir up strife among brethren.
Yes.
Six things. I'm gonna get this word for
Yeah,
word.
six
Six.
things the Lord hates, seven are abomination unto him. This in Proverbs, what is it?
Six.
Six, yep.
Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. The devil says, "Ooh, I'm paying attention." Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So there you go. That's at the foundation of everything they've been doing for the last 500 years.
That's right.
And they justify themselves. And I wanted to, so I was looking into these things, into the quotes, into the war between the states, and the French Revolution, the Jacobins, the left and the right gets its origin from that. I'd like to talk about that. And then, with Reformation, October 31st, the Reformation Day, I spend this month in preparation showing the children some aspect of it. And we've been going over the Pope's temporal power and how the Peace Treaty of Westphalia broke that, and the Peace Treaty of Munster.
Yes, sir. But got to remember them both. Peace Treaty of Munster with the Dutch Civil War ending after 80 years and the Treaty of Westphalia after the 30 Years' War. So they're kind of hand in hand. Very important. Every Protestant and Baptist young man needs to know about those treaties because the Nazi Third Reich with that war in the Europe ended the Treaty of Westphalia and
Did
removed.
they? I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. They ended the Treaty of Westphalia and removed the boundaries that had been established by the Treaty of Westphalia.
No
And
kidding.
Goebbels even talked about it. Yeah.
How did I not know that?
Oh.
Well, that's amazing. You learn something new every day. Thank you for that piece,
You're welcome.
because for the listener's benefit, well, I've got three bullet points here that touch. You did a broadcast just yesterday, I think. I was looking at the archives on Jesus Christ ruling in the throne of David and his earthly reign.
Oh yeah, Christ, Davidic Kingdom, part one. I just
Yes,
put up part
yes.
two about an hour ago.
Oh, okay.
Best thing.
So this is exactly sets the foundation for Jesus Christ ruling on the earth for 1,000 years. That's why I can't go along with covenant theology, which says it's amillennial. There's basically not gonna he's not gonna do that, right? And
Amillennialism is Romanism, so.
yeah, this is so they brought over a little bit too much with them from Rome, and that's one of the things. The other piece with covenant theology that I just can't get past is the aspect of the church replacing Israel. How the Protestants replaced the nation of Israel. Essentially, it's that the Protestant church has replaced the nation of Israel. They say, oh no, Rome hasn't replaced the nation of Israel. That's a Roman Catholic idea. We Protestants have replaced the nation of Israel.
Well,
Well,
there were lots of Protestants who believed that, lots of Protestants who didn't. But in the literal reading of scripture, of prophecy, we must always conclude that Israel is not the church, the real church, the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is not Israel. And we always keep that distinction pursuant to 1 Corinthians, what, 10, 31, 32? Give none offense to the Jews and to the Greek and to the church of God.
yeah, and Romans 9, 10, 11. So, yes, Jesus Christ is going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. And now, from Satan's perspective, he wants to get revenge against God and beat God and replace God. And Isaiah 14 spells that out, his fanatical, obsessive, revolutionary, Jacobin, atheistic. I guess he's not an atheist. His what was the word I was looking for? Anarchistic.
Anarchistic. There you go. That's good.
Although I suppose he wants to be the monarch, so he's not truly an anarchist. He just doesn't want anybody to follow the Lord's authority and
That's right.
moral
He
supremacy.
wants anarchy that establishes his power. And
Yeah,
that's exactly what we have here. Anarchy going after the ICE agents, arresting these criminal, illegal invaders, going after these ICE agents that would restore some order so that they can further create anarchy and justify the response, which will be a martial law.
even heavier hand.
Heavier hand. That's right. That's
Yeah.
just what the Jesuits want. Remember, the Jesuits were openly on the side of Biden and his left-wing socialist communism destruction of the place. And he's secretly, they're secretly or privately on the side of Trump as the response to it, to further centralize power, impose martial law, open the camps, and start the roundups.
Power.
I just watched a special on Netflix yesterday, or one of those things. It was called the Katyn Massacre. Yeah,
Stone.
it was Stalin, and they blame the Germans. They blame the German army for that. When that massacre took place in 1940, before the Germans invaded in 1941 with Barbarossa.
In the
That lie
forest.
was continued by the Allies, Churchill, FDR, and all these other Masonic centers. They continued the lie that the German army carried out the Katyn massacre until 1990, when the Soviets, upon the end of USSR, admitted that the NKVD killed all these Polish officers and Polish intellectual people, shooting them in the back of the head. And then putting them in their mass graves. That was all done by Jesuits running Joseph Stalin, advised by Leventry
Beria.
Beria, as Hitler was advised by Himmler. So both Himmler and Stalin worked together, and both were advised by Himmler and Beria, their right-hand man. So it's the same exact system.
And these were Polish officers.
Polish officers, yeah. Shot, I think it's like 20,000 of them in the back of the head. They
Wow,
went through
yeah.
these graves, these mass graves that were awful.
Yeah.
But the poor Russian people, what the poor Polish Roman Catholic people don't know, is the Jesuits killed them. The Jesuits ran the NKVD with starts first with Dzerzhinsky, within the 1917, 1918 with the Cheka, and it goes into the NKVD later on. with Stalin and Beria.
Mm
And they killed these Polish officers because they were doing that to facilitate the opening of the death camps. And the death camps in Poland, the six of them, could not have been opened if the Polish officers, those real men that were manly men, had not been destroyed by Stalin. So
Oh, right.
Stalin facilitates the death camps in Poland.
Because they would have they were occupied by how far did the Nazi line extend through Poland at that point?
I'm not sure, but they divided it up. Hitler invaded on September 1st, Stalin invaded September 18th. They divided up Poland, and the Gestapo and the NKVD worked together with roundups of various people that would resist. And so they worked together even after the war, when Germany had lost, the NKVD, then the KGB, took over the camps. So they're all run by the Jesuit order, and there's a good book, there's a book showing how Hitler and Stalin worked together, and the liaison was Martin Bormann. And the book's called Hitler's Traitor. And so it's the same way now. Trump and Biden and Obama and Clinton and Bush Jr. and Bush Sr. all work together for the ends that we're seeing now.
Right. So that's just more the actual way things go. So continuing, Satan in his fanaticism wants to beat God and essentially get revenge against the Lord, and ultimately, I think Satan wants to try to destroy God to really get his full due and try to not only dethrone him, but to replace God entirely and get God into hell. I think that's Satan's main goal.
Well, he's crazy enough to try it, so.
And yeah, not only that, but ruling the world obviously goes along
Oh,
with
yeah.
it.
Yes. If he ruins the world, there cannot be any fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. If he kills all the Jews, there
All
cannot
the
be fulfillment
Jews.
of the Abrahamic covenant. And if he kills the church, the body of Christ, there cannot be a completion of the fullness of the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Those are his major political activities.
And theologically, I think he's also trying to implicate God as being a liar. Because if he can stop something that God said was going to happen, then that means that God said something that was false. And if God says something that's false, then that means God's a liar. And if God's a liar, the only place for liars is hell. So if the devil can get God to lie, then the devil can get God into hell. And I think that's what he's trying to do at the end of the day.
Well, for sure, he's seeking to usurp what belongs to Christ, because the five I wills have to do with Christ. When
Right.
I believe when Lucifer was covering over the throne of God and he saw what was going to be done with the Son, he wanted it. And so I'll be like the Most High. I'll be exalt my throne above the stars of God, because that's what's going to happen to Christ. And that's what's happened so far. But he wants to take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he tempted him twice on a high mountain to fall down and worship him. And when Christ refused, then Satan had to draw back and do something different.
Change of strategy. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. There's also another one about there is no wisdom. This is about the fact that, so Satan must really not like this verse
Oh,
where
yeah.
it says Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord.
That's right. That's
There is no
exactly
wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. Because if the devil can thwart something that God said is going to happen, like you're saying with the Abrahamic covenant or with the Jews having finally embraced their Messiah eventually, then, well, if he can breed the Jews out of existence or
yes.
shoot them all in the back of the head or some kind of thing, he can stop God's promise from coming true. And if he can stop God's promise from coming true, it's like a domino effect. He can then put on his lawyer outfit and
And make
claim,
accusation. And
make
make
accusation
accusation
that you're a
like that.
liar, God.
That's right. That's exactly correct.
So,
Everything would cease to exist.
which is
Remember,
ultimately.
everything is held together by the word of his power. If God would be a liar, then he would cease to be God. If he ceases to be God, nothing consists, and it would all be one great big disappearance of anything that ever came into existence.
I shall negate him eventually. Ah. So that's also part of what you see with the insane burn it all down mentality with these radicals, what we call Antifa. It's also spiritual because these are devils that possess these people, and you see that also with well, basically the Jacobins. I did some looking into the Jacobins. We'll have to get to them in another broadcast. But that was mentioned in that quote that I read, accusing these people in the North of being, atheist, communist, socialist. One that our viewers or listeners might not understand or know is Jacobins. These were
I
the
think the pronunciation is Jacobins.
Jacobins. You're probably right.
And also Dabney talks about the free lovers. The
That
North
too.
of the free lovers, and they were having their communes of free love and fornication. He talks about that too.
Yeah, if you want to look into one that's particularly messed up, it was the Oneida. Something about Oneida. They had that
Think
free
so.
love thing.
Yeah, Onita.
Oneida. They're making a video series on it. I think it's also to Netflix, starring Matthew McFadden as an insane person who ends up shooting Grover Cleveland, I think, or Garfield. I can't remember exactly. He befriends him in the 1870s or so, and it's a story about how. But anyways, yeah, the free love thing in the North, and that was actually taking place back then.
Just they had every sort of radical they could possibly want there. And you
Yeah.
don't have any real ministers defending the North except a work I have. And it's keep talking, I'll find it on my shelf.
Okay. So, anyhow, Satan's insane desire to rule the world. The Jesuits are essentially his answer to how is he going to do it? That's what they are. They're his tool. And of course, like the scriptures teach, it clearly establishes that the King of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall rule the world from Jerusalem, from the throne of David, for a
Here's the
thousand
book,
actual
brother.
years.
Here's the book. Christian Life and Character by Morris. And there's a lot of good things in there, but he ends it up vindicating the North.
Oh, does he? Christian moral life and character. Well, they were deceived into thinking that they were helping to preserve and defend the Union.
Right.
So you have to use deception. But
When
they didn't have access
they
to.
destroyed the Federal Union, and on its ruins, they created a national union for both whites and blacks with national citizenship. That is never talked about.
And reconstructed the South.
And reconstructed the South to make it to do their best to make it pro-black, with black leaders everywhere, and so that they would be Republicans and loyal to the Jacobins in the North.
Yeah,
So
and pro
that's why the
corporate.
South started their first Klan. It's because it's not going to happen. You're not steal our country from us. So that was the first Klan. Remember, there were two, and that was the first Klan, of which I would have been a member.
Because they destroyed the place so much.
That's right. The
And also the
destruction.
cultural difference with just the South was a agricultural place and the North was industrial. And so you
Correct.
had. There's also so many quotes that, time prevents me from sharing, but you can find them quite easily about how the North was being subject to increasingly radical influences and increasingly distancing itself from the scriptures. And the South was going progressively towards the scriptures and towards the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, and the Irish Catholics that were bringing them over here by the tens of thousands, they
Yes,
settled them in the
yes.
north. They
Right.
didn't settle them in the south. They settled them in because the Irish Catholics hated the blacks.
Preparation
They
for the
didn't want to
war.
be around them, so they settled them in the northern cities in preparation to use them to decimate the historic white Protestant South and black Protestant. and that.
Yeah, and where's all the blue areas today? And where's their Christianity? Dead with
Did
their
Delaware,
Massachusetts,
New Hampshire,
Rhode
Connecticut,
Island,
Rhode
yeah,
Island,
New York.
New York, all pitiful, leftist, socialist, communist, Roman Catholic.
How did that happen?
Yeah, how did that happen?
So you got that situation, and it's like I'm living in 5 centuries at once sometimes. But anyway, as I was saying, you stood up to check out the book. I was saying that the scriptures teach, are just saying Jesus Christ will rule the world from Jerusalem on the throne of David for 1,000 actual years.
Right,
Eventually.
uses the term 1,000 years 6 times in Revelation 20, which quite literal, and
Yeah,
nobody has the right to redefine 1,000 years into something other than 1,000 years.
exactly. And Satan's said to be bound up for 1,000 years. So imagine it's the same 1,000 years.
Amen. And after 1,000 years, he is loosed. Gathers then the nations together against Jerusalem and to be destroyed. Now, I would imagine, of course, it's going to be on a flat earth because he's going to gather up all the nations on a flat earth to attack Jerusalem, then to be destroyed by fire.
I wonder if they'll popularize the notion of being a flat earth by then or not.
Oh, sure. Sure, because Christ made it and he will give his wisdom and decrees from Jerusalem and talk about how the flat earth functions and how best to harvest it and grant food and more minerals and ore and whatever. It's just going to be a wonderful, productive time.
That'll be quite a university lesson taught by the chief. He's not the CEO, he's the king of righteousness.
Yeah, King of Righteousness. Yeah,
He's not going to
King of
go by chief
Righteousness, King of
executive
Peace.
officer.
Yeah.
Commander in chief.
Well, there will
So,
be no war. So there, since there's no war there, he won't be commander in chief. Because,
redeemer in chief.
Redeemer in chief.
So, in attempting to divert, I mean, the scriptures teach that the kings of the earth. Here, I'll give you some verses, for example. Psalm 2:2, the kings of the earth set themselves. But here's another one. It talks about how Psalm 102, verse 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. And we have more of this same similar theme. Psalm 138, verse 4. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. There you go. So this is when Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years, and they hear the words of his mouth. Kings of the earth, kings, kings, beware.
I'm reminded of the verse when Christ was speaking. The Queen of the South came up to hear the wisdom of Solomon,
Yeah.
and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. No brag, just fact. A greater than Solomon is here.
Psalm 2, verses 10 through 12. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So these types of verses could fill and probably should fill the foundation of a book unto itself about establishing the way that the kings of the earth will respond to the King of Kings. Isn't that Book of Revelation over and over? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we have the King of the Kings showing up.
That's right.
And so in order to try to stop that, or at least reinterpret that, Satan attempts to steal and to wrest the scriptures and divert the meaning, try and like divert a river away from Jesus and refocus it away from the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and instead take those scriptures like jujitsu and redirect them to another, to a different one, to a different person, to an anti-Jesus Christ, to an anti-Christ, the Pope, a not Christ, a different one. And that is what brings the geopolitical and the theological together, is when Satan is trying to get the world to believe, particularly the kings of the world, that this man is a substitute of Jesus, and we need to do what he says and apply these scriptures to him instead of to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's the
Or
grand.
not take them literally and redefine words into a nonsensical meaning and then build a belief system on nonsense.
Right. Well, to reject it altogether serves the devil's purposes as well. Thinking about how it's going to say that they're going to give their power to 10 kings will give their power to one, and all the world will marvel at the beast. So here we have a way to segue from that right into establishing that their doctrines teach not only that this man is the ruler of the world and ought to be, according to their perverted versions of the scriptures, but then also after that, you have, well, what happens if people don't want to believe it? Well, then you agitate their government, you agitate their king, you beat them down with genocide and fire and sword and poison and warfare, and everything that we started this broadcast with becomes justified in the eyes of the Jesuit, who believes that all the world should be subject to their pope. And so if you're not, then you deserve to die.
That's right. And
And
the
that's.
nation that will not serve thee shall perish. They took that verse in Isaiah 60 that has to do with the nation of Israel and they applied it to the Pope.
That's the type of thing I'm getting at, is where they take the scriptures like that and they reapply it to the Pope.
That's exactly what happened. I remember when I first read that, I thought, whoa, what a blasphemy. But they had it right there. Turning to it by almost by the first page. Isaiah 60 verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish.
Shall
Yea, those
perish.
nations shall be utterly wasted. The
And
Pope,
deserve it.
they deserve it. So they would take it and applied it to them, to the papacy.
To them. Evidently, this is a quote from Augustine. He, that is the Pope or the Bishop of Rome, is the sun, the ruler of the universe, the moon, the governments of the earth, reflects his glory. The earth is all the people who bow down to him. That's from a Chick tract or the Chick publication
And that's
quoting
they quoted Augustine as saying that.
in the City of God, but newer versions have removed that information,
Well, I'm sure they have.
according to Alberto Rivera. So this goes back centuries, dear listener. This dynamic undergirds all the stuff on all this alternative news stuff where you say, oh, the governments are being oppressive. Well, it's because all this stuff is like buried in the basement, okay? And it's carried on century after century. This is what we're really actually up against.
It's the same Jesuit order with the same Council of Trent, with the same determination to overthrow white Protestant Western civilization, revert the world back to medieval darkism, dark age darkism. There's no such thing as medievalism. It's dark age where there's no middle class, there's no weapons ownership, there's no hard money, there's no private property ownership. And the people are there just to be fed and then recruit them into the crusading armies. To do whatever the Jesuits want them to do. And that's what we have here.
Yeah, fork over their money and die for you. So, in order to justify that, of course, they had to tweak the understanding of Peter and about how Peter and the apostolic succession and all that other stuff in order to justify the Pope.
And
And,
remembering Peter never went to Rome. He never died in Rome. His grave was discovered by the Franciscans in 1953 in Jerusalem.
that's where they get the office of the Pope. Boniface VIII in 1302 in Unum Sanctum said, "We declare that every human creature is subject to the Roman Pontiff." So,
And if you're not, we'll control your president, and through him, we'll make you subject to him.
yeah, and we'll stir up, we'll use your government against you, and if the government doesn't want to do what we want, then we'll use the people against the government. They view the kings and the people as both their tools.
We will put the country under an interdict if the people don't go along with it, and we will depose the king if he doesn't go along with it, because that's under the doctrine of Des Regi, which is the doctrine of regicide, which the Jesuits have perfected under their author Francisco Suarez.
I was just looking into that book earlier today. Well, yesterday.
And yet they'll attack Cromwell and the Puritans for killing that traitor, Charles I. He was a regicide. He killed your doctrine, Pat, Catholic bishops and Jesuits. Defend regicide if you're doing it. And it wasn't regicide anyway. The king was a traitor, and he deserved to be put to death for high treason. And so they did.
And so they did. Yeah, their regicide is seen in JFK
Yeah, that's Jesuit regicide.
and Lincoln.
And Lincoln. And Zachary Taylor. And almost James Buchanan when they poisoned him in National Hotel, 1860, 1857. Yep, there's about 14 of them that they've killed.
And what I want to impress upon the listener is that they think it's their duty. They think that they have not only the right, but it is their duty to kill heretics.
That's right. Without the shedding of the blood of the heretic, there is no salvation. That's one of their doctrines.
This
And
is
that's why
the.
the son of General Sherman, who was Thomas Sherman, when he was a Jesuit, wanted to reenact his father's march to the sea from Atlanta to Savannah. And the people of the South said to over our dead bodies, and that was under the Roosevelt administration, because Thomas Sherman was an advisor to Theodore Roosevelt.
The Jesuit that he was,
Yes, he was.
Thomas.
The Jesuits killed McKinley to make Roosevelt president. They used a fanatical Roman Catholic to kill McKinley too, well, in Buffalo.
Oh, right.
Scholzowitz. Scholzowitz, I think that was his name.
It is no murder to kill a heretic. Me see here. So, if it's no murder to kill a heretic, then they can get a little creative in some of the ways that they do it. We
That's right.
mentioned you can have individual hits, assassinations in particular, or you can just stir up wars and then teach both sides to go ahead and bludgeon each other and shoot each other on the battlefield. Or if you don't have two sides that want to fight each other, perhaps it's just one side of insane people and another side of orderly, domesticated, normal people, as we see in 2025, then what you do is you raise up the insane people with no children and no future to go and rape, rob, burn, destroy those that own property and that are attempting to be agitated, as was taking place in the South before the war and as is taking place now.
And we'll tell the police to stand down. Just let the savages do it. Let the black savages do it and the white Antifa savages do it. Oh, by the way, I have to laugh. When Antifa was marching through New York City and they were bashing windows out and doing all sorts of things, they didn't touch St. Patrick's Cathedral or the Archbishop's Rectory.
Another miracle of the Virgin
Another
Mary.
miracle of the Virgin Mary. There we go.
Exactly. I wonder how that happened.
Yeah.
Well, they're just showing who their ruler is.
That's right.
Pope Leo XIII said, "We, the popes, hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty." So they do what he wants.
That's right. That's exactly what they teach.
You know what I want to say in circling back to that true definition of the war was not between slaveholders and abolitionists, but it was between communists, atheists, socialists, Jacobins, and the lovers of order and regulated freedom on the other side.
Right.
So
And
what I'm trying to say.
regulated freedom is always a result of reading the Bible.
Right, and the entire Constitution and Bill of Rights is not a child of the Vatican. Here's several quotes. The listener needs to get the book called Rome and the War from 1916 by Watchman. He went anonymous because he didn't want to be known, I suppose.
I have that offered on my website, one of my
Oh dear.
books there. But go ahead.
I found a copy of it. It's an old copy. It looks original. It's got this old
Is
tattered
it
cover.
red? Is it a red one?
Yeah, red.
Yeah, I have the same thing.
So here's some quotes. We shall, this is from 1916. That's a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
We shall see later on that the Jesuits seek to produce the same hatred of a nation which they wish to destroy in order to induce other nations to combine against it. Slander, falsehood, and vituperation are the weapons they use for this purpose. Or in this case, the ad hominem sort of smack in the face of being what were they, patriot, MAGA, you MAGA, we hate you, we hate you white nationalist, you, what was the one, the Tea Party, you Tea Partier, you birther, you're a birther, you stupid birther. Maybe that's, I'm dating myself, but with Obama, remember the whole birth thing. You truther, you stupid, you conspiracy theorist. So there's another one. You don't deserve to eat or come to our grocery stores. You don't want to wear a mask. You don't.
You don't want to get that shot. You don't want to get the death dart.
Slander, falsehood, hatred.
You're endangering us by not getting the death dart. What if they had a brain? They say, "Well, we got the death dart, and if you don't get it, well, then you might get sick or you might get COVID.
That's not
You
how it
don't
works
have
because
to
of
get the
science.
vaccination."
No. So, the science is settled. You just do what CNN says. Exactly. So these
Good.
quotes, where did I leave off? Slander, falsehood, and vituperation are the weapons they use for this purpose, and it may be assumed as certain that wherever these weapons are used to excite the hatred of the masses against the upper classes, or hatred of any person or persons who stand in the way of their ambition, like Bible-believing Protestants and Baptists,
That's right.
those who use them are Jesuits. Those who use them. So all this coalition of people displaying unemployed behavior in the streets, whether it's the feminists or the people protesting against the climate change or people destroying the artwork, that's more of a European thing, or the people burning this recent thing, this astroturfed fake march thing. No kings, brought to you by, George Soros, brought to you by some Jesuit stooge
Sure.
in the Vatican, brought to you. So it's always brought to you by the same people. And this is what's happening in America.
Well, there's only one way to cure that. And I'm for demonstrations, of course. But when they start bashing out windows and destroying statues and
Destroying
destroying
the
property,
statues.
it's time to shoot them.
Yeah, that'll
The
scare them
cops
off.
should pull their guns and start saying, "You die, bye-bye, bang, bang, bang." And all that decimation of property would stop.
That would stop
They
very
want
fast.
that. They want the decimation of property.
Yeah, the destroying the statues thing was like vintage 2020, where they would just tear things down.
Yeah.
And where were they tearing it down? The Old South.
Of course,
Because
they
it's the
don't have
same thing century
any
after
memory
century.
of why those people revolted.
Yeah, century after century. So,
They even tore down Albert Pike in D.C. And
I heard about that.
I said to one of the guys I was with, I said, "You watch, they're going to put that statue back up." And they have.
Did they?
Yeah, they're putting it back up.
Kind of figure. Yeah, the only Confederate war general in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, head of the Freemasons,
Head of the
Sovereign Grand
Freemasons.
Inspector General of the 33rd degree. And
Yeah.
with the 33rd degree right in D.C., with the Egyptian pharaohs and all that. That's all Albert Pike stuff, controlled by
Yeah.
run by the Jesuits. So,
If the listener's not familiar, Albert Pike is essentially like the Babe Ruth, Tom Brokaw, what's the other one, Walter Cronkite of the Freemasons,
we
publishing
go.
his book Morals and Dogma in about the what,
I think he wrote it in
mid
1870.
1800s.
1870. I have a copy here. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, after the war. So he's a big thinker in the Freemasonic drool, and he wrote the book Morals and Dogma, which is a like their Bible, sort of. They would say, "No, it's not." They would say they have a Bible in their lodge, and it's a King James Bible, and it has a little Masonic symbol on it. It's
Yeah.
furniture to them. The Bible is furniture to them,
That's right, it's furniture. That's right.
like grandpa's clock or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the Masonic lodge has been tied in with all this too. But they're
Well,
not the ones stirring
is
up.
he serving the Jesuit order? I mean, that's what Mackey said. Mackey said it in his History of Freemasonry that the Masonic Lodge is really subordinate to the Jesuit order. And when Albert Mackey says that, why then who's above Albert Mackey? You know.
Satan.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's a lot of there's a lot of quotes that establish now the Jesuits as being the chief agitators of states, and those who still use murder and the printing press and the torch and the poison and the leaden bullet against their religious opposition, and they're using their doctrines to justify all of these fomentations of warfare. And they casually say, "No, we are just merely academics and leaders of free thinking." It's
Yeah,
because
just so long as your free thinking agrees with us. Because if it doesn't agree with us, then no, we're going to silence you some way. We'll call you a racist and a bigot and whatever to silence you. And then
I think.
all the slaves will say, "You really? Are they racist and bigots? Please tell us, because we can't trust our own judgment. We would never want to rely on our own judgment and weigh the facts ourselves. No, we want to don't want to do that. We'll just take whatever those people say." And believe that.
That's the recipe for a very dangerous group of people, because if you're not going to be hindered by the Holy Spirit or slowed down by wise counsel from the scripture, then you're going to be tools in the hands of men that are intent on destroying other people's lives and property.
Franklin said it correct. We will either be ruled by God or we'll be ruled by tyrants. And that's the Lord through the King James Reformation English Bible or through the tyrants subject to the Pope. Because all tyranny goes back to the Pope, all of it. Stalin, Churchill, Mao Zedong, Hitler,
Sherman,
Churchill, FDR, all the bastards,
Marx.
all going back to the Pope subject to them.
So it's been 200 years of very clever hiding.
Yes.
Hiding. They're master chameleons, is what it is. And so all these boring history topics are not boring when you realize it's all brought to you by the same group of people. Like an advertisement during the sports games, brought to you by Pepsi. It's all brought to you by the same Vatican.
Yeah, brought to you by the Vatican,
And
run
like
by the
Intel
Society of
inside.
Jesus.
Brought to you by the society. That's what they should end their broadcast. If they're being honest, I would at least give them credit on MSNBC and some of these other ones. Brought to you by the society. But why is this being endorsed by the Jesuits? And then
Yeah,
it's.
and Lawrence O'Donnell is an absolute Jesuit. He was trained by him, I think. So yeah, this is Irish Catholic Lawrence O'Donnell, brought to you by the Jesuit Order with MSNBC.
And then the atheist or the BLM. BLM's kind of died down in all fairness, but the. What's the other one? The Antifa rally or the No Kings, brought to you by the Jesuit, the Society of Jesus.
That's right.
This message is sponsored by the Society of Jesus.
We're going to rob, raid, pillage, and destroy. And whenever the government starts to put down on us, we'll say, no king. We don't want a king.
No
All
king.
of those people, when the new right finally acquires its power, all of them you see in the streets are going to the camps.
Well, they'll probably say no king but Jesus, and then they'll turn around and do some kind of violent fascistic thing in
Yeah.
order to keep future generations away from the gospel.
That's right. Yeah.
It's always Satan's always posturing. How can I dupe as many people into lumping Bible-believing Christianity in with some of the most horrible abuses you can imagine?
Yep.
That is what makes the devil have a nice fun day. He thinks
That's
that's
right.
fun. He thinks that's really fun when people throw the scriptures in the trash, thinking that they're also throwing Hitler in the trash.
Right.
That's a fun day to the Jesuits and to Satan.
Once you get a people to abandon the Word of God, the Reformation English Bible, or the Reformation Spanish Bible, or the Reformation Dutch Bible, whatever, or German Bible, once you get the people to abandon that, they have no protection to then be protected from Jesuit coadjutors that would oppress them.
Yeah, and that's my heart breaks for the Germans and Europeans is because they say, well, we don't want to be like see Hitler, and so they distance themselves from the scriptures and from Christianity because they can't tell the difference between Christianity and Rome.
That's right. And then they have the Pope's Muslim savages in Europe savaging, doing what they do best. And they're going to try to pull that same. I mean, like Hegseth, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. He signs that agreement with Qatar, setting up a Qatar Air Force Base in Mount Home Air Force Base in Idaho. Going
Oh,
to
really?
provide them with something like 15 F-15s.
What does Qatar need? What do they
Yeah.
need F-15s
Why
for?
would they need that, huh?
How are they going to maintain them?
How are they going to maintain? Well, I'm sure some Americans will maintain her. I'm sure the military and government will maintain it for them. So when they get the order to attack, oh, some white people that live in Idaho or some white nationalists, send out the Qatar fighters to bomb them, and they'll
So
be.
wait, Qatar has an Air Force base in Idaho?
When I was in the Air Force, brother, from 1972 to 1977, there was an Air Force base in Idaho called Mount Home Air Force Base. And
Okay.
anybody that I knew went there, was stationed there, loved the place.
Okay.
So we all wanted to go to Mount Home. Well, now they've given Mount Home to Qatar.
The Air Force base in Idaho.
An Air Force base in Idaho called Mount Home.
Is gonna serve the interests of Qatar.
Yes.
What interest does Qatar have in Idaho?
Well, nothing except that the Jesuits want these fanatical Sunni Muslims there so that they can incite them to commit war on wherever they're ordered to drop bombs or whatever. Except they
Wow.
don't know that there's a group of white men out there that are absolutely patriotic and loaded to the gut, loaded to the teeth. And when they finally figure out this military government in DC wants to kill them, they're going to throw off all restraints. And they're going to go after all these parties that this papal government has brought in here, and it's going to be curtains.
Well, I'd imagine that they end up having something similar. Now it dawns on me. I was just looking at that thing that happened in 1825. Did you ever see that when Alexander the First died and Nicholas the First was going to come to power, there was a big standoff in front of the palace or whatever, and there
Really?
was th thousands of soldiers. I made a movie about it. I was just watching the clip, and then they just ended up blockading the place, and they wouldn't let Nicholas the First in. So then the military fired on the military, essentially, with grape shot and killed a bunch of people and they fled. So I'm wondering if there'd be enough outrages where the American military, the most patriotic faction of it, just says, enough's enough, leaves, joins something else, and then ultimately is the stormtroopers.
Yeah. Well, I watched, by the way, Alexander the First was poisoned with porridge because he kicked the Jesuits out of Russia in 1820, and he shut down every Masonic lodge in 1823. And everybody ought to have a picture of him in their house for what a great man he was. And he was a Bible believer, too. So they killed him, the Jesuits killed him, and wanted Nicholas the First to come to power because Nicholas the First was a complete and total papal slave, and he signed a concordat with the Pope.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did, and it had to be undone by Alexander the Second, for which they then blew his legs off when he was in a coach by the anarchists.
Mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful, though.
Yep. So you see what's going on in Russia, the same fight to control Russia to happened ultimately with the Bolshevik Revolution and the Nicholas II being the coward that he was to go along with it and escapes out of Russia with his family, pretending his death was took place. And I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same game in every country. And until the American sheeple wake up to this, they're going to be some serious victims in the not too distant future. Because they're going to bring these Muslim savages over here. I have that quotation in my book saying that that America will fall to the Muslims. And it was written in 1798. I have that quote in there.
Oh, wow.
And that's exactly what the Jesuits were doing. Bring them over here, put them all in the major cities, and get them, and incite them to some violence after the Dome of the Rock is blown up and blame America on it. Then all these Muslims will go crazy here and want to kill every American they can find. Because
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what
that'll be
they're
nuts.
doing. All right, brother. Hey,
So,
you want to make a final point or two and we'll get out of here?
sure. So, Satan's constantly conspiring and he uses his Jesuits and Pope to do it. And it's just one century after the next. And the more you study this stuff, the more you start to see the similarities and the same patterns and spiritual influences at work. Again and again, when you know the broader narratives and the broader story. So maybe in future we can get at I'd really like to get into the French Revolution and the origins of the modern left-right paradigm, because that's just touches so much of what I see. Because the alternative news that I see is classically framed without them realizing in the left-right thinking, basically. And that breaks down in several different ways, but
Well, unless you
anyways.
bring out the Jesuit hand in the French Revolution, it's incomprehensible.
Yeah. It gets very murky.
Well, I deal a lot with that in my book, so I prove the Jesuits ran it, and it's like they ran the Bolshevik Revolution, and it's
Same
there
thing.
for people to access. I mean, I have all the different sources that they can check out. That would be good, brother. Carlyle has a great history on the French Revolution, and so does
Carlyle.
Thomas J. Watson. He was a senator from Georgia, U.S. senator, and he wrote a history on the French Revolution that is considered to be the very best. I need to get a copy of it. But it's Thomas J. Watson,
Thomas J.
French
Watson.
Revolution. So, brother,
Interesting.
if you want to get that for me and send it to me, I'd really appreciate it. Okay.
Is it one volume?
It's two volumes.
Nice. Very good.
All right, my brother. Hey, why don't you give your contact info so people can send you a donation?
All right, I don't have a one of those 21st century payment methods. But if you want to send something, I guess you could send it to Eric John Phelps and he could forward it to me. My email would be ejr11 at case.edu.
Say that again, please.
Sure. ejr11 at case.edu.
CASE.edu. Okay, very good. Well, send me an email from that email. That way I have it and I can refer to it because I have your other one of Smilefire. So
Oh,
just
right.
send that one to me and I'll just, someone contacts and I'll just forward that to them.
Sounds good.
All right, my brother. Sounds good. Well, this is Brother Eric John Phelps with Brother Eric Rodriguez rambling today on various and sundry topics. Hoping you enjoyed it. And you can send me a donation at RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can send it to Cash Tag, ERICJONPHELPS for Cash App. Or you can send it to RBPB Donate at Comcast.net. Any donation would be greatly appreciated. So, Brother Eric, thank you for being on again. Hopefully we can do this maybe once a week. And I always greatly enjoy your method of proceeding and presentation plus the facts that you have. So, Lord willing,
Sure.
hopefully I'll see you next Monday. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All righty. All right, brother. Well, until then, Lord bless and Maranatha.